Today on Seculo, Biden skips border visit because he's got, quote, more important things to do.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome to Seculo. We're taking your calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. First on this border issue, where President Biden was asked by Peter Doocy directly. Well, just take a listen.
Why go to a border state and not into the border?
Because the more important thing going on, they're going to invest billions of dollars in a new enterprise.
So that's true. There's a company that's going to invest in a chips manufacturing plant in Arizona. That's wonderful. He's president of the United States. He has multiple means of travel. While you're there, 100 miles away from the border, why not go look at the place where thousands of people are coming across daily? Humans are being trafficked. Fentanyl is coming in and killing Americans. Enough fentanyl has been seized to kill every American 10 times. But he says there's more important things to do, and more important things to do is money.
Because you don't want to go to a place where you're going to have a failure. And the border so far has been exactly that. It's been a failure. There's actually, you know, we keep talking about Title 42 being about to be expired. Let me reiterate for everybody what Title 42 does. It's a public health order that was issued by the CDC in the early days of the COVID-19 pandemic that aimed to stop the spread of the virus because people were coming over and we were afraid they were sick and the impact that was going to have. The order allowed authorities to swiftly expel people at the border. They want to now get rid of that, the Biden administration. We've got a letter from the United States, four members of the United States Senate, all Democrats, saying that this is going to be a huge mistake and significantly increase the number of security issues at the border, the Southwest border in particular. And the letter, which we can put a copy on the screen, is from you. I mean, this is not who you normally would expect this from, right? I mean, so you got Kristen Sinema, Margaret Hansen, John Tester, and Mark Kelly. Four of them are Democrats saying, don't do this.
Yeah, and what's interesting here is they point to this number. Just think about this. In fiscal year 2022, this is because of Title 42, of the over 2.3 million individuals that were encountered, which is a gigantic number, 2.3 million people encountered, those are the people that they actually caught at the border by CBP, just over a million were processed under Title 42. So about half of the people that were captured by and encountered by, they don't want to say captured, encountered by CBP, were able to be quickly handled with the use of Title 42 and expelled.
Correct.
But now, imagine that power is gone. A million more people, they're just going to be led inside the United States.
And they start in the borders, but remember, they travel to all the different cities. So right, every state is a border state now.
Especially now, when you're talking about the numbers of 2.3 million, and those are the people that they know of. Those are the people that they actually had contact with. Think about what is the number of, you know, it could be any kind of number. If there's another million that they don't have contact with, that are already entering the country illegally, this creates crises at every state, whether it is the human trafficking crisis, the sex trafficking crisis, the drug crisis, the gang crisis, the violent crisis. It also allows an opening. When these cartels know that you're being overwhelmed at certain points on the border, they know that's where to send in the 100%. Drugs, where to send in the human trafficking. And it's not just, it's actually not mostly Mexicans, you know, to point out. It's a lot of Central America and South America and even people from the Middle East who are making this trip. Africa, making this long journey, knowing that all they have to do at this point now is claim asylum and they'll be let go and they may have a case in a few years.
The danger to the American security, citizen security, is unreal. The four members of the Senate, all Democrats, are saying don't do this. And Joe Biden says, too busy, can't go to the border. What's your reaction to this? If you're on the border, we'd love to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. The ACLJ went to work on this. We sent out a Freedom of Information Act request. We're now getting productions, literally thousands of documents, hundreds of documents coming in because we wanted to find out why all of this was taking place, why these projects have been suspended. We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Support the work of the ACLJ Matching Challenge, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Seculo, and we are taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-31. Tonight, I would play this. So yesterday, a reporter asked KJP, Karine Jean-Pierre, is there a replacement for Title 42 in the works? Something that would be similar? For instance, if these, we just were talking about how most of these migrants are not coming right from Mexico.
Correct.
Which means they could have claimed asylum in multiple countries along their journey.
Which you're supposed to go the first place you go to, that's a country of safety, that's where you're supposed to declare.
Under international law, that's the rule.
Through. Right.
And if you keep passing through, that means that you, under international law and interpretation, I mean, you actually have a weak claim for asylum. You're probably an economic migrant, and you don't actually have this real fear for your life so much that you'll go anywhere. That's the point of asylum, is that you will go anywhere to save you and your family's life. It's not economic livelihood. It is your actual physical life is in danger. So if you can be safe in the next one of the countries you pass through because that gang isn't active there, you should claim asylum there. But we're not enforcing that. Take a listen.
We understand that the administration is considering a proposal that would bar certain migrants from receiving asylum here in the U.S. if they don't seek asylum in other countries first. Is that a proposal that you're moving forward with? Or are there any other alternative measures to Title 42 on the table?
So, look, we are committed to continuing to secure our borders while maintaining safe, orderly, and humane processing of migrants. That is something that we are committed to under this administration. This rule will remain the case with Title 42 when Title 42 is lifted. Any suggestions that we might be changing a policy or looking at a different policy is inaccurate at this time.
So there you go. No new policy. So they never responded to these Democrats. Obviously, that's why these four Democrats put the letter out at 10 days after they sent it.
Because these are their states that are being impacted by this. Now, CC Heil has been looking at this. We've set out a Freedom of Information Act request. We're starting to get responses. But the border situation is impacting the entire country. The ACLJ has been taking action on this.
Yeah. So in 2021, we had 1.7 million people crossing the border. And in 2022, it's up to 2.3 million. And talk about a crisis. Biden's not going. He doesn't think it's as important as other things. But we had the Secretary of DHS under Obama saying that if you had more than 1,000 arrests a day, that was a crisis. We're right now at 6,000. And if Title 42 is gone, they're expecting 18,000 arrests per day.
Well, except you're not going to have 18,000 arrests per day because there's no way they're going to be able to do it. That's what you would need to arrest per day. But there's no way you're going to be able to do it. It's just not going to happen.
And they're having trouble getting anybody to want to do this job. Frank called in from Florida about just that online, too. Hey, Frank.
Yes, hi. Thanks a lot for taking my phone call. Sure. My question is this. I read in the news yesterday that something is being involved with the federal air marshals and trying to secure the border.
Yep.
Is that legitimate or is that something that can't be ruled out?
They've issued an order to deploy them there.
First, they asked for volunteers, and they only got 150 air marshals. So they're going to take them out of the sky. So they're saying that, okay, in these high-risk...
Why would you announce that, by the way?
And those are the high-risk areas. Every flight doesn't have an air marshal on it, but it's high-risk cities, places based off
Washington,
terror
New York,
threats.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah. It's cities you could figure out and know would be targeted more likely by terrorist bad actors. So they're taking them off planes to protect American citizens, by the way,
right,
on those flights. And they're trying to get them first. They try to get them to volunteer. So out of the roughly 3,000 air marshals or a little bit less than that, they don't give you an exact number, only 150 signed up. Now they're being assigned.
They're redeploying them is what it's called. They're issuing a redeployment order.
This is not their job. These guys, there's no training for this.
But here's the problem, which we have to be aware of.
They're going
to
be processing paper.
Well, they don't have the training. You're going to have no Title 42, no capability of enforcement. And the numbers, as Cece just said, are staggering. Now, we have done at the ACLJ, and I want to say this, we issued a Freedom of Information Act request to the Department of Homeland Security, and it involved records regarding border-related human trafficking and exploitation of women and children, the cancellation of Operation Talon, and taking down the CPBs, that's a Customs Border Patrol's press release on arrest of person on the FBI's terrorism watch list. They were moving all this. The same reason Joe Biden's not going. It doesn't fit their narrative.
It doesn't fit their narrative. And I think we just got It maybe recently, even as yesterday, we got a response to that of hundreds of pages of documents that we're going through to find out exactly what's going on here. But obviously, the border is not a priority for the Biden administration, and they're trying to just kind of sweep it under the rug as if it's not a problem. But the rest of the world knows that it is.
I think the reality is starting to sink in, because when you got Democratic members of the Senate saying this isn't working, help here, and we put it up on our screen for those that are watching. This is a serious problem. Now, you got to take it to the next step. What's the solution? So the solution is Joe Biden goes with a big announcement on an economic development, great, but then head on down to the border. At least support your folks that are trying to do their job. But he doesn't want to do that either. That's the problem with all this.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go right back to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. We want to hear from you on the border. 1-800-684-3110. Fred in New York on line one. Hey, Fred.
Hey, how you doing? Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just have a comment. You said that the border's been a failure, and I agree with you, and Biden doesn't think it's important to go there. The reason to me is because to him and his administration, it's a success. This is exactly what they wanted.
Well, I mean, listen, before these 3 weeks ago, before these senators sent this letter to the four Democrats, a Democrat congressman asked Mayorkas, Stanford Bishop asked Mayorkas, do you still think that the border is secure? Take a listen. I mean, Fred, this is exactly what you're just saying.
Do you continue to maintain that the border is secure?
Yes, and we are working day in and day out to enhance its security, Congressman. Right.
The border is not. Who are they think they're kidding? The border is secure? The border is a disaster. And it's the human sex trafficking and the drugs that are coming, the fentanyl that's coming in addition to people that shouldn't be here in the first place. But let's focus on the real issues. You've got to have security at your border, and this administration is not going to do it. Now, what we're doing at the ACLJ is getting to the bottom of this. And what you need to understand about these Freedom of Information Act requests, when we send them in, oftentimes, this is an example, they come back, they don't want to respond. And what we do then is we go to federal court to get the information.
Right. Typically, when we do the FOIA requests, if they do respond, usually it's after several delays, and then we get redacted documents. And so then we have to go to court to actually have a judge make them give us the documentation that we've requested.
But they're not going to want to have documentation, Jordan, about why they canceled their program that was involving
Title 42,
why they postponed Operation Talon, why they took down their press release on arrest of persons on the FBI's terrorism watch list. They don't want that. This is the ACLJ. This is what we sent in, which started this process. And that's what we do in our Office of Government Accountability, and our lawyers there, Ben Sisney and some of our team, work on this on a regular basis. So that's what's going on. We're getting to the bottom of it. And when you expose it, guess what happens? Sometimes you get that you can't get it through Congress. Then all of a sudden, now you got four members that are Democrats of the Senate saying, yeah, we don't like this. Let me tell you what I guess will happen. They postponed the suspension of Title 42.
I mean, they've doubled down that they're not, but they've done it before. So I think here in this letter, this stuck out to me. It says the utilization of Border Patrol agents to manage processing. And I just talked about that with the air marshals. Their job is security, not processing paperwork. And neither is the Border Patrol agents, by the way, has limited the ability of the United States Border Patrol to maintain operational control between ports of entry. Think about how big of a failure that is of national security. We have no operational control at our southern border at ports of entry. Those are places where people are supposed to go to enter, whether it's goods, services, where we have the border open for business. So they said, for example, Arizona Border Patrol sees over 3/4 of on-duty agents assigned to processing. 3/4 of the agents who are supposed to be doing security are doing paperwork.
Yeah, this is how you end up with a fentanyl crisis. This is how you end up with a sex trafficking epidemic and pandemic, because no one's patrolling the border. I don't want to say no one, because a lot of these officers are doing a great job, doing the best they can. But the union for these officers are saying, help, we can't do this. But I want to focus again on the fact that we get to the bottom of this, folks, and that is what we do at the American Center for Law and Justice. So as we're in a matching challenge campaign, and we sent out an email today about we're doing a 50-state project on the life issue. In the next segment, we're going to talk about our lawyers in court today at the Sixth Circuit, in 2 days in the Sixth Circuit, Supreme Court brief due on Friday. We're going to talk about this. Your support of the ACLJ is critical. We're in a matching challenge campaign. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. So if you donate $50, we get another $50. That's $100 from another donor. So we encourage you to go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org and be part of the match. That's how we keep the lawyers in court. That's how we fund this broadcast that you're seeing, you know, an hour a day, every day live on radio, TV, social media platforms. It makes a huge difference. And we want to encourage you to support our work. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org for the Matching Challenge campaign. You just go there, do it right online. It takes literally moments, and your support will make a huge difference. Again, ACLJ.org. All right. Phone lines are jamming up. We're going to talk some cases. We're going to talk some Georgia politics. Big day for that. We've got a lot ahead coming up on the broadcast.
That's right. Go to ACLJ.org. Be part of our Matching Challenge if you can. Double the impact of your donation. That's at ACLJ.org. We can continue to expand the work that we do if you're able to support us financially. That's how we make decisions. ACLJ.org. Be right back on Secular. Welcome back to Secular. I do want to take a call on the border, and then we're going to talk about some of the ACLJ work as well. And again, we'll take your border calls too, your Georgia phone calls too. If you got, again, if you are in Georgia, especially for the second half hour of the broadcast, start thinking about giving us a call. We want to hear from you about what it's like on Election Day. If you voted on Election Day, if you've been by the precincts, what it's like. Give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. We'll be getting to that in about 10, 12 minutes on the broadcast. So if you want to get your voice heard on that, start getting in those calls now. Let's go to Brenda in California on line one. Hey, Brenda.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, it's just not the fear of the drugs. It's the fear of the terrorists coming in over the border and not even having the air marshals on. Now they could say, well, hey, they're low on air marshals. We could go and be terrorists on the plane.
I don't understand for the life of me why the White House announced that we're redeploying air marshals.
It's that bad.
I'd like to get a Freedom of Information Act request on that. How did that happen? I mean, I'd love to see what happened there. Now, I don't know what agencies are involved with that, but it's probably
Maybe
Homeland
instead
Security.
Instead of 87,000 new IRS agents, they should get 87,000 new border agents.
That would be a better use of the money. But to Brenda's call, we have asked about why the press release about the terrorism watch list individuals that were arrested at the border, why that was removed from the website. So we want to get information about that. And that's what these Freedom of Information Act requests produce.
Right. And hopefully, like I said, we just received, I think it was yesterday, documents, hundreds of documents. And so we're going through those currently. And hopefully we will have some information to share. And if we don't, if they haven't provided any information, we will definitely, you know, go to court and make them provide that information.
I also want to say, talking about going to court, and we're taking your calls at 800-684-3110, we're in court. If you're watching the broadcast live, about an hour after you're done live, we are going to be before the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit in a case involving discrimination targeting faith-based organizations. And the law on this in the circuit actually is good. I mean, I'm optimistic. The district court ruled against us. They treated faith-based institutions under their zoning scheme different than any other group. That was what was so fascinating about. And that's why we litigated it, is this idea that you could target religious groups and treat them differently than a secular counterpart.
Right. And that is what the argument will be about today. Abby Sutherland will be arguing that, like you said, at 1 o'clock. And it's interesting how ordinances can be written and specifically exclude out faith-based organizations. And still, governments, you know, local governments think that's okay. And like you said, the Sixth Circuit has some good case law on that. And so we're hopeful that there'll be a good outcome.
We're going to find out how good soon enough. Because, like I said, Abby's going to be up on the batter's box, so to speak, arguing that case in the next hour if you're watching live. At the same time, Frank Manu was on the broadcast yesterday on the 8th, is arguing a major pro-life case before the same Court of Appeals. Different panel of judges, but the same Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals. On Friday, we're trying to get in. We have till Monday, but we're trying to get in Friday. Our brief on a huge religious liberty case at the Supreme Court. And that brief is due technically Monday. We like to get in a few days early, so we're shooting for Friday. That's just a snippet of what's going on right now. And then, of course, we're getting calls on the border, and the American Center for Law and Justice, Assisi, said we've just gotten our first real batch of responses to a Freedom of Information Act from our Government Accountability Project on this exact topic. So let's go ahead and take another call.
Yeah, back to the phones we go. Let's go to Roger in Oregon online, too. Hey, Roger.
Hey, good morning. Hi, guys. Hey, I've got a question for you. Kamala Harris was tasked as the border czar. In her first address, she focused on getting to the root causes. I have not seen or heard of any interim report or update from any news organization, and she needs to be pressed on this until she provides an answer.
They have no answer. I mean, Rogers, the truth is they have no answer. I mean, what are they going to say?
There's not one root cause either, because you got these migrants coming from all over different places. Now, right. We know the driving factor is economic, but that's not a claim for asylum. So, you know, economics, you could, again, that's people who need to go and get in line to immigrate to our country if they want to. Again, we know what people want to be in the United States because of the economic situation here, even with inflation, even now, is better than most places in the world. But that means you need to go and apply for citizenship and apply to get a green card, apply to get in line through the legal process. And then, of course, other folks are fleeing places like Afghanistan. Or situations in sub-Saharan Africa. And we've seen places so fleeing Islamic terror. Some are fleeing the economic crisis in places like Venezuela. Which, by the way, that's likely why your gas prices are down. They don't want to tell you that.
But cut a deal with Venezuela.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the new Green Deal Democrats cut a deal to get dirty gas. I mean, this is a much lower quality process. Much worse for the environment, more likely to have spills.
They didn't want $6 a gallon gas because that did not look good.
Nope. So they cut a deal with Maduro. And that's many of these migrants are coming from places like Venezuela. And the U.S. tried to prop, of course, those governments up for the Biden administration, tried to prop those governments up. But there is no one root cause except for people want to come to America. It's not that difficult.
And we want people, you know, we're a land of immigrants, but we have a process. And we handle these. And listen, we've handled asylum cases. You just to walk in and declare asylum, there is a process you have to go through that's serious.
Right. And the problem is the border is porous. That's the problem, that people are just walking across and allowed to come by millions. And you're seeing that's why these Border Patrol agents, three-fourths of them, are now put into the process part, because there is a process. Even with the people coming across illegally, there is a process that has to happen. And when you overwhelm that process, that's when people just get turned out by, like in I forget where it was, in Texas, that it was 700 migrants that they just let go on the streets because they didn't have the ability to process them.
And you're not going to process 6,000 and 7,000 extra a day. There's no way. So like Jordan said, instead of 87,000 new IRS agents, how about 8,700 new Border Patrol agents? I mean, you know, drop a zero. I mean, this is where the priorities, where elections have consequences, of which in the next segment of broadcast, we're going to be talking some of that, because you got your Georgia race coming up. If you're from Georgia, our phone lines are jammed right now, but they're going to open up during this break. 1-800-684-3110. We sure like to hear what's happening in Georgia. We'll take calls on the border as well. Let me also say this. As I mentioned, the American Center for Law and Justice, front and center on the border issue. Why? When something happens like Customs and Border Patrol takes down a press release they put up about apprehensions of terrorists at the border. In other words, they were coming in, Middle East terrorists coming in through the southern border. And then they take it down. You ask yourself, why did they take it down? Well, we find out why they take it down, because we actually litigate if necessary and get into a Freedom of Information Act demand with these agencies to find out what they were talking about internally. And let me tell you, folks, you find out all kind of things. And we're going to find out here what happened, because it's putting the entire country at risk. All that to say, your support of the American Center for Law and Justice at ACLJ.org. This month, you double your impact. So any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for it. And let me explain what that means. If you donate $20, you're not then donating another $20, but we have somebody else that's going to match it automatically. And so that $20 is effectively for us $40. $100 is $200. $50 is $100. $500 is $1,000. So I want to encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. December's our biggest month of the year. This is when we determine our budget for next year. If you want to see us continue, and I know you do, in this broadcast and all the work that we've talked about today, go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org, and support our matching challenge campaign. Jordan, it's easy for people to do. You also have a Secular Brothers podcast today?
Absolutely. We'll be talking Georgia and, again, some other issues in politics as well. Maybe some Cheers references because of Kirstie Alley passing away as well. It's a little bit of that, too. It's always a little bit different on the Secular Brothers podcast.
It's very different at Secular Brothers. You should be subscribing to that podcast. Go to secularbrothers.com. Back with more in a moment.
Keeping you informed and engaged. Now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome back to Seculo. We are taking your phone calls on the border. I want to hear from folks in Georgia as well. I know phone lines, we've got one line open right now. But you can put in your comments too. We can have our team start looking there. If you're in Georgia, did you vote? Are you voting today? What was it like? Right now, here's some statistics I want to go through.
And by the way, the phone line's open right now at 800-684-3110. Yeah, we cleared a couple lines. So
but just so you know, in November, when on Election Day, 58% of Georgia voters cast their ballots in person early voting. 36% cast their ballots on Election Day. The final 6% were absentee ballots. The day of voting, it looks like, will need to break in Herschel Walker's favor by 13 points. Here's why. There have already been nearly 2 million early votes. And that might have already, now it probably reached that number because a judge allowed for Saturday early voting. Now, this was an interesting one, Dad, because the law specifically says nothing after Thanksgiving. They said because of the backup, we're going to allow early voting through Saturday. Yep. They did. So it now, the early turnout is only slightly, like maybe 200,000 votes smaller than the early vote in November.
Let me ask you.
Warnock is going into it with basically the same amount. If you imagine that, by just to break it down for you, black voters were 31% of the early vote ahead of today's runoff. Warnock got 90% of the black vote in November. So you start doing the math here.
You were so far Herschel behind by the time you get to voting.
Yes, he's got to go up. He's got to win more than 10% of every 10% of the votes cast.
Which is a huge number.
Up 10.
Yeah, which Brian Kemp didn't win.
Right. I mean, that's...
He'd been a big win. It was like 8.5, I think.
Because you're probably down 11, 12 points already before people even started voting this morning.
So here's what I'd like to hear some people in Georgia.
It's not impossible, and you need to vote. Because the numbers are there. The numbers are there for either one of these candidates to win.
I mean, Brian Kemp won by 8%.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
The numbers are there. Republican would win by 8%, but it's not... It doesn't look like it's going to play that. Well, we'll see. But the voting is very important.
Yeah, I don't want to influence anybody not to vote.
No, you need to go out and vote. Every vote counts.
If people do show up, if conservatives do show up, and independents say, you know, maybe Warnock is too liberal for me, and maybe they didn't like Herschel as much, but they said, okay, now that it's gotten to a runoff, I got to choose between these two. Yeah. We didn't. So there is some of that. We did hear in the last cycle that if it gets to a runoff, I'll vote for Herschel.
Yeah.
But I'm not voting for him this time.
So how many
of those voters were there, and do they show up?
Well, that's going to be the question. If you're in Georgia, we'd like to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. Let's grab another call on... We've got 2 minutes here. Let's grab another call on the border issue, which we were talking about the first half hour of the broadcast. Biden goes to Arizona, doesn't go to the border. Four Democratic members of the Senate said, don't get rid of Title 42, which gives authorization to remove. They don't want it, and they're Democrats. But no response from the administration yet. Go ahead.
Yeah, let's go to Tito in New Jersey on line 3. Hey, Tito.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Great.
Listen, I don't know if you guys are aware. Can you hear me?
Yes, great.
Okay. I don't know if you guys are aware about the issue between Dominican Republic and Haiti. Dominican Republic is going to build a wall between Haiti and Dominican Republic because we're dealing with too many Haitians in our country. We are a poor country, you know, a poor country. And we have over 2 million Haitians in Dominican Republic. But the reason why I mentioned this is because United States sanctioned the Dominican Republic, stopping the sugar trade between the two countries.
Right.
Because Dominican Republic is going to build a wall. So they're like double faced.
No, you're well. Listen, the walls are good fences, good neighbors. That's how you have to. And that's so you do that in your neighborhood. You should be doing it.
Yeah,
border security.
So, as you said, I mean, Dominican Republic is in a much better position than most of Haiti. Much better.
Mm-hmm.
But still has a lot of issues for their citizens. There's only so much they can provide in relief to Haitians.
You're right.
They're getting sanctioned by trying to help their protect what?
Their citizens.
Their citizens. It's this idea in the world now and amongst the left that there is no citizen of a country or borders to protect. We're all one and the same, so who cares? And this is when you get to chaos. and unrest, and people get nasty, unfortunately, because they feel like, okay, now we got to build a wall.
Now, I'm going to tell you this. We're going to take your calls on the Georgia matter and immigration as well. 1-800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
So let's take a call at Georgia. We're going to do border, too. So stay on the line.
On the border, Joe Biden, President of the United States, goes to Arizona, doesn't go down for a little side trip to the border because it's, you know, more important things
he
to
says
do.
There's something more important. It's a chip manufacturing plant. Now, that's important to our country because if you want to ever be independent of China, you need more chip manufacturing. That's wonderful. You're President of the United States. You got planes, helicopters, and any kind of movement you need.
Minutes.
Yeah. You can go to the border for 5 minutes.
They're not going to do that because that's not a success. Georgia is having a big vote today. Let's talk to people in Georgia. 1-800-684-3110.
Donna. We'll go right to Donna on line one. Hey, Donna.
Hi. Thank you so much for all the good work you do.
We appreciate that. Thanks, Donna.
Okay. I voted today. I'm normally an early voter.
Yep.
But the lines were so long through December the 2nd that I was not able to vote. So I voted today, and my precinct is very small. So I'm not a real good, I think, standard, but I was in and out in 4 minutes. But I will say that most of my conservative friends that did not want to vote for Herschel, I think are voting this time. And I say, you know, a vote for him is definitely against the other party. So.
Well, you're voting for policy at this point, and there's a distinct difference
for that group,
in the policy.
Especially who didn't vote for the first time.
Yeah, so they need to vote policy. And it's James Lankford, Senator Lankford said in our event at ACLJ Action, ACLJ and Susan B. Anthony list, if the Republicans were to get the seat from Warnock today, and we'll know tonight, I think, then the Senate committees still remain 50-50. That's really important. You could stop things. If they don't, that goes down to, you know, basically 11-9, and you lose the ability to do much of anything. So that's how important that Senate race is.
It's interesting that Donna said she's in a small precinct, but that the early voting lines were too long. Now, same day voting was took 4 minutes.
That good or bad?
Is not good for Republicans.
Okay.
Because we know that the majority, not all of them, but a majority of the early votes go Democrat. I mean, that's just statistically what we know. It's better than polling. We know that. Is that the majority go Democrat. And so we need to hear more. Like, and again, she might be in a very small precinct, like she said, but same day voting turnout. Like, you hope you get home from work today and you turn on the news and they're showing big lines in Georgia and they're having to keep them, maybe the polls open in some places that are good for Republicans. Maybe those, I would love to, it's a good sign if we start seeing the Republicans in the state party and the Walker campaign filing lawsuits to keep polls open in conservative areas.
So we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. At the same time, the ACLJ front and center on the border security issue. We've got a Freedom of Information Act request. We're getting responses. Now, we want to know why Customs and Border Patrol was told, evidently, we'll find out by whom, to take down their press release about apprehending people on the terrorist watch list on our southern border. And then we also want to know why they did away with programs that were increasing the ability to deal with sex trafficking and illegal narcotics coming over in the United States. So all of that's up. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and take another call.
Yeah, let's go to Joe in Ohio. Joe, thanks for holding on line five. Welcome to Secular. You're on the air.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, how's it going today? Thank you so much for taking my call. My question is, why haven't the red state attorney generals filed mandamus actions against everybody from the agencies that are sworn to protect our borders all the way up to the top?
Well, they have, and they've lost. I mean, to be clear. Now, there's some other issues pending right now, but the Republican AGs have filed against state of Texas filed against the Biden administration's policy and changes. And the Supreme Court in earlier cases said basically that issue is controlled by border security, is controlled by the federal government, and that is exclusively the jurisdiction there. Now, the problem is when the person comes in illegally, if they're involved in illegal actions, drug trade, terrorists, obviously. You then got to process and arrest them. And who does those initial screenings and processing? Usually the state agencies, along with the federal government. It's very complex. But they Republicans, listen, when you lose a national election or when your candidate doesn't prevail, this is the policies you get. And so this is the policies you get. The problem is, and this goes back to the Georgia race, nothing is going to happen positive on these kind of issues if that Georgia race doesn't come out successful today. I hate to say it that bluntly, but I think it's true.
Yeah. No, I think, again, it's very difficult because the House could stop a lot of things.
Yes.
But proactive, you know, like hard negotiation with the White House, very tough because it's not both chambers going to the White House to say, we'll make this deal, we'll cut this deal. You've got to get a Republican House, a Democrat-led Senate, potentially to, well, definitely to work together. And then if these committees flip, which we haven't seen that yet, you can have what such a flip-flop in priorities. You have like you could have the House, you know, doing investigations on COVID, on China, even maybe like Hunter Biden, those kind of issues, and the suppression of the laptop issue, like
and
we've
the
seen
Senate
from
going after conservatives,
and the Senate spending its time on, you know, whether Twitter should be shut down or whether you know the Green New Deal policies. I mean, just such a disconnect.
Yeah,
and you know the House caring about border security. The Senate caring about shutting down power plants and drilling in the United States.
Let's go ahead. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Interesting call coming in on line six.
Yeah, let's go to Joanne in Ohio also. Joanne, welcome to Secular. You're on the air.
Hi. Most informative hour of my day, guys. Thank you for everything.
We appreciate that. Thank you.
I've heard a couple of reports that several Border Patrol agents have committed suicide.
Yeah.
I mean, that's heartbreaking. I mean, these guys are nothing but babysitters at this point. And the other point I wanted to make was about the air marshals. They're saying that one in every 100 flights will have an air marshal now?
They're cutting the air marshals down because they're trying to redeploy them to the border because they didn't get any volunteers from the air marshal service to do it because they're trying to prevent something terrible. They're law enforcement, and down there they're processing paper. Customs and Border Patrol has called in what's called a suicidologist as workforce deaths are rising.
14 more than last year.
14 more than last year. Washington Examiner has a great
more
piece
than a
up
year
on
and
it.
A decade.
And it's because these people are trying to do their job and they can't. I mean, that's impacting their mental health.
They're seeing horrible things.
Yeah.
You know, they're seeing horrendous things. Kids being thrown over the over trucks and you know 30, 40 bodies piled up in a dead in a tractor trailer. That gets to you. And they are, they are not military.
Nope.
But they are being held almost at a level of like deployed military.
You're right.
I would say it's pretty close to that. I mean, you have cartels pointing, you know, right at the border, running drugs. But the amount of human tragedy they've seen is just, yes. And I think, you know, that gets to people. And it's why it's the highest ever reported in over a decade when they've started tracking this number. And you know, 14 more suicides. You may say that's 14. That's a lot. One of our, almost call it like a service branch. It's again, that's why I say the disconnect in Washington is going to be so drastic because we know the House Republicans care about this issue. We know some Democrats do as well, but they've got to come together. The only way the Biden administration is going to move on this is if Republicans and Democrats can come together. Maybe they can on Title 42 and put enough pressure there.
The question will be, you've got Democratic members of the Senate saying, don't get rid of Title 42, which is the expulsion order that you can utilize as emergency authorization. And now you got four Democrats saying, don't get rid of it. All the Republicans are saying, don't get rid of it. The governors of the border states are saying, don't get rid of it. Now you've got four Democratic U.S. senators saying, don't terminate this program. Maybe that does it. And that's where this comes in, and it's very, very helpful. Hey, folks, we're coming into the last segment of the broadcast. We're going to open up our phone lines to talk about the border, to talk about Georgia. We do want to hear from folks in Georgia. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. I mentioned that we've got a case that we're filing a brief at the Supreme Court of the United States on, which we're going to try to get it in Friday. If not, it'll be Monday. And we represent the city of Ocala, and it's a religious liberty case involving prayer activity and an issue of legal standing. I will tell you this, the group on the other side, the American Humanist Association, they filed their brief in opposition to certiorari. That's we've requested the court to hear it. Most of it is, we've never had this happen. Instead, we're not the party. We're the lawyers representing the city of Ocala. But here's what they put in their brief. Neither the 11th Circuit nor the district court uses ACLJ's offended observer label. The circuits are completely unanimous, rejecting the ACLJ's concept of standing. And then they say the court recently reaffirmed its decision and they give a case. Then again, adopting ACLJ's argument would destroy symbolic injury. The ACLJ, and on it goes, ACLJ seeks to render the Establishment Clause a nullity. Now, you normally, that's not the way you get a brief in opposition. That would be we represent a client and we're advocating their legal positions. But in a sense, it's a backhanded compliment because of the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. And that's where you come in. So I want to, there's their brief on the screen right there. They're entitled to write what they want. We're responding. But we want to encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. Jordan's going to let you know how to do it. Participate in our matching challenge campaign today. Then we'll take calls.
Yeah, ACLJ.org. It's a great time to support our work. Because of the matching challenge, you double the impact of your donation. Go to ACLJ.org today. So many different reasons why, so many different issues that we work on that may be a reason why you want to support our work. Do it today and you double the impact of your donation. That's at ACLJ.org. We'll be right back on Secular. All right, welcome back to Secular. We are taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. So we're looking at Georgia, the race there. I do think we're going to know tonight.
Yeah, I do too.
Based off just the way that with the amount of early voting, so those get processed very quickly.
Yeah,
I think, again, you're going to see likely because of early voting, Herschel Walker down significantly early.
And this is where it goes back. And by the way, I want to thank our friends at Rumble for featuring.
I don't think the race is going to be like a blowout.
No, but I want to thank our friends at Rumble for featuring this broadcast that they've been doing. Got a lot of people watching on Rumble, and we appreciate that again for our friends at Rumble. But my question is what you've been saying is this idea that without early voting, you go into this election day, and it's like the other teams on your 20-yard line. But when you start.
Right.
So we've got to adopt, when the states allow what the states allow, we need as conservatives to be implementing that.
Absolutely. I mean, this is, again, we have to just, and it wasn't going to happen in this cycle in a month, but we have to really educate folks about why early voting works. And it works because those votes are already in. So on election day, you don't have to worry about whatever smear campaign came out about you 24 hours ago, because the votes already counted. And you can get those votes in a month before. So you know what work you have left to do. Because everybody comes up with models. So all campaigns have models. And people probably think about this, but they have a model inside. Basically, how many votes do we think we need to get? How many votes do we think we need to find? If you are going into election day and you're tracking early voting and you know that the counties, you can easily figure out by where the votes are coming from the state, how many of the votes you're getting. So if it's a liberal place, you might only be getting 3 out of 10 if you're a conservative. If it's a conservative place, you're probably getting 7 out of 10 every 10 votes. So then you know in your model, okay, by election day, we need to find this many more voters. It's a lot easier to find a smaller amount on election day than it is the majority of your voters. Right. Because then you're dealing with doctor's appointments, sick kids, bad weather, lines too long, wreck, a traffic jam. I mean, especially in places like Metro Atlanta and where you've got, again,
weather.
Issues with traffic going out way out, too, every direction. And so you take all of those variables out because you give people a chance to vote a month before. And you can debate whether or not it's right because so much happens in that month. I think that's fair. But we got to play by what the rules are. And the rules are you can get a lot of votes done before election day.
So do it.
So let's start doing
it. So you don't take the risk. There was an interesting commentator on a pollster who said, early voting, you vote, it's 100%. Your vote's coming in.
Yeah, you know.
Day of, too many things can happen.
It's
you can't get there.
Chance.
It's raining. You've got an emergency.
It's about 90% chance that person votes. And that's a serious voter for you. But there's a 10% chance that
they don't.
One of those issues arises. A kid gets sick. They've got to go to the doctor's office. They've got to take care of a loved one or the elderly. All of those things come into play. But they don't come into play in early voting.
All right, we're taking your calls. 800-684-3110. Let's go to line 2.
Yep, Austin in Georgia on line 2. Hey, Austin.
What's up, guys?
Thanks. You're on the air.
Georgia, Senate election.
It seems in my area that the Democrats may have a better ground game, and I'm also wondering why Herschel said he lives in Texas.
So let me ask you this. Where in Georgia are you, Austin?
Rome.
So you're north. Okay, so you're northeast. So generally, northwest. So that's generally a pretty Republican area.
Yeah.
On the Herschel, Texas-Georgia thing?
Misstatement.
Yeah.
I mean, you can listen. It's not uncommon for someone to live somewhere, especially senators, and then come back home. And, again.
Perfectly legal.
I think, though, voters don't like that. They don't like the inconsistent statements from him. I think that's the issue. It's nothing. It's that what's going on there. Again, I don't want to play into that because he's been open about it.
Yeah.
His struggles with, like, mental health and those issues. Yeah. He's been very open about it. So, again, he lived in Texas a long time. He is a Georgian also. I mean, you know, he was born and raised there and played football there and is a hero of the state for that. But what we're starting to see is that Georgia is just a different place. 20 years ago, it's interesting. Herschel Walker would have never been the Senate nominee 20 years ago, but if he was, he would have won. But I don't know what party it would have been, and I'm not sure he would have ever made it through the process because it was a very different time in both parties. Yeah. Race being a factor what's Democrats were in control in the early 2000s of the state. I mean, just a lot of things have not gone right. And what I've heard from real insiders in the state, I mean, people that are very much inside the state, they never, and it's hard to imagine because you see these huge numbers, they never had the resources to compete either. So you've got to be the difference today.
Yeah.
The voters got to be the difference today.
Ryan, line four from Georgia. Ryan, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi there.
Hi.
I am a African-American conservative female calling, and I voted today, and it was tough. It was very, very, very tough to vote. It was one of those situations where I didn't want to vote,
yep.
Just considering, like, the candidates that we have.
Yep. This is, look, candidate selection matters. I'm not saying anything negative about either candidate. I'm just saying it matters, and your hesitation, Ryan, is... Look, I think that's being repeated a lot. The question is, but you did vote today. How was turnout in your area?
Yeah, I was saying, but what area are you from in Georgia, and how was turnout?
Yeah, so I'm in Atlanta, like Brookhaven area. I'm not sure if you're familiar.
We know.
Right up
in Atlanta. Yep.
Yeah. So it was easy. Like, I mean, they make it seem as if, like, you know, black voters are disenfranchised that, you know, we're having such a hard time. But in my area, it was easy. Like, I went in and out less than, like, really 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Stacey Abrams totally lost that issue when black turnout's been higher than ever before, which is great. And Brian Kemp said it. We're going to make it easier to vote and harder to cheat.
And they did.
That's exactly what's happened in Georgia.
No, I think they did it. All right. Let's take some more calls. 800-684-3110.
We'll take the air marshal call. We'll take Clifford's call in Georgia after that. Let's go to Beth in Texas on line one. Hey, Beth.
You're on the air. Go ahead, quick.
Hey, I'm a retired flight attendant for one of the airlines that went into the tower. I'm just going to comment that these congressmen and senators need to get onto this fast because they ride the commercial airlines and they could have their rear end on that plane.
Listen, I think this is a ridiculous move, and announcing it was – why would you announce you're pulling out
air marshals? We've seen so much unrest on air flights, too.
Yes.
Air marshals, yes, terrorism, but also we've seen – Like unrest. Flight attendants being overrun, harassed. Over attacked, yep. Harassed, fights break out.
Yep.
Like you said, most of these members of Congress, almost all of them, they fly commercial. A lot. Like every week, back and forth.
All right, last call will be from Clifford in Georgia. Clifford, where in Georgia are you?
Just outside of city of Hartwell.
Okay, all right. So go ahead with your comment.
All right, the comment I want to make is we definitely need to overbalance that rocking chair seat that Warnock illegitimately got a hold of.
You got to get out the vote. Have you voted yet?
We haven't yet, but it's in right this afternoon, and it's only a couple of miles away.
You got to vote. I mean, I don't care whatever political party it was. You have that right, constitutional franchise to vote. You should exercise your right to vote. I am nervous about what I'm hearing with people coming in and out in 2 seconds.
Yeah, and they feel like even Ryan, who called in, who said she didn't want to vote. She's not going to vote for Warnock. She's a conservative.
Yeah.
But it was a tough vote for her to make. I mean, that's... people may be over that. Because that was a lot of Trump vote. People who said, okay, I'll still vote for him because I'm not going to vote for Hillary Clinton.
Right.
And then maybe we didn't get as much of that with Biden. And then, you know, is Herschel kind of an example of that too, where people just aren't willing to say, I'm going to vote because they're Republican?
We're going to find out soon enough. All right, folks, support the work of the ACLJ. December is a huge month. It's our matching challenge campaign. Any amount you donate, we have someone that's going to match it. So go to ACLJ.org. We appreciate you doing that today. ACLJ.org. Tune in to the Secular Brothers podcast, secularbrothers.com. We encourage you to do that as well.